1 Corinthians 13. This is God's holy word. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, as we've been considering this portion of God's word, 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 7, we sort of have a little series in the series on love. When Paul repeats with the same phrase over and over, four characteristics of gospel love. Look again at verse 7. It always protects or bears, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. And we've come to the last in that series within the series on gospel love. And I think if we consider this verse as a whole, you can see the gospel logic of these four elements of gospel love. Love always bears, or love bears all things. So Paul can say in Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Love bears all things always. But how can it do that? Well, it can do it by believing God's word, faith. And so love always believes. It believes all things that God has taught us in his word. Everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It will be by faith and believing that we will be able to bear all things. And love and faith look forward as well. And so we considered last time that love always hopes. Love hopes all things. We have this hope, Hebrews 6:19, as an anchor for the soul. Because hope gives us an anchor, it makes us steadfast so that we can always bear and bear all things. And with the faith and hope and love of the gospel, the bearing of all things is not sporadic or short-lived. It continues. It perseveres. It always endures. And that's the last thing that Paul says about love. So you see that love bears all things, always believing, always hoping. And because it always believes and always hopes, it is enabled to bear all things for the long run. It endures. It always perseveres. And so Paul can remember the Thessalonians when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we continually remember before our God and your Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, love, and hope produce endurance, patient endurance. The word here for perseveres or endures is a word that literally means to remain or to stay under. And the picture there is to be under all kinds of stresses or strains, to be under all kinds of situations and problems, and yet to stay the course, to remain, to be steadfast. Sometimes this word is translated to bear up under. You're under all these things, but you stay and you remain where you ought to be as a believer. Love always endures. What is the greatest motivation you can have to patiently endure? It is love. Love is what will encourage you and motivate you to endure and to persevere. I have a friend in the ministry who lives in Colorado. He told me just yesterday that he has signed up for a 50-mile race in the mountains. Over the course of those 50 miles, he will gain a total of 9,000 feet in elevation. I try to imagine that race. I try to imagine the pain, the blisters, the numbing monotony of mile after mile, and the aching lungs gasping for oxygen in that rarefied atmosphere. How could he do it? He loves running. He loves running. And because he loves running, he can endure that kind of race with all of the hardships and pain that it will involve. Friends, it will be love that will keep you enduring. It will be love. And it will be a lack of love or a declining in love that will leave you open to quit. There's a direct correspondence to love and endurance. And there's a direct correspondence between a lack of love or a deficiency of love or a declension in love and the temptation to give up. The gospel puts love into our hearts and our minds. Love for God and love for others. And if gospel love is present in our lives, then no matter how hard or how long it will be, love will keep you enduring. Love for God and love for others. In the last book of the Bible, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9, John says, I, John, your brother and companion, and then he says this, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus Christ. And I think that's fascinating. He has those three things together. The suffering and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours. The suffering is real, but so is the kingdom. The call of God upon our lives, when those things come together, they're met at that point of patient endurance. But what helps us to endure? Paul tells us here, it will be love. Matthew Henry said, love sustains all manner of injury and ill and bears up under it. What a fortitude and firmness love will give the mind. What cannot a lover endure for the beloved and for his sake? How many slights and injuries will he put up with? How many hazards will he run? And how many difficulties will he encounter? Love compels you to endure. Paul can write in 2 Corinthians 6:4, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, hunger. But what was it that was compelling him? 2 Corinthians 5 says, the love of Christ compelled him to suffer that way and to endure that way. That's how a believer should endure. That's how we're called to endure. In our relationship with God, in all the things that God calls us to, in His worship and in His service, our love to God will motivate us to endure. We endure because we love Him. And in all the relationships of life in which you're involved, that are filled with many troubles and many trials and many circumstances and situations that challenge your endurance, it will be love for others that motivates you to endure, that encourages you to endure. How can you put up with it? Because I love Him. Because I love her. That's the key. It's love. That's how a believer should endure. But is it that way with us? Do you feel like quitting? If you do, check your heart for love. Check the love levels in your heart. Has your love grown cold? Your love for God? Your love for others? When love grows cold, endurance is in peril. Your perseverance is in peril if your love has grown cold. In Titus 2, verse 2, Paul says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. If you're sound in love, you will be sound in endurance. Love and endurance are always under attack. The child of God, one writer said, is a pilgrim and a stranger passing through an enemy's country and exposed to attack at any and every moment. Our endurance is always being tested. That's what's tested day in and day out in your life. Your endurance. Will you endure? And our endurance is always being tested, you see, because the enemies of our faith have great endurance. The world, the flesh, and the devil are implacable, irreconcilable, mortal enemies of your soul that never, ever give up. Talk about endurance. This is what we have to understand. The world, the flesh, and the devil have tremendous endurance. Their endurance will last every day of your life. They will never give up. Our endurance is always under attack. In the country of Syria, about 40 kilometers west of the city of Homs, has been in the news lately. There's a great, magnificent medieval crusader castle fortress called the Crac des Chevaliers. It's an incredibly imposing building. It was built to be impenetrable and unconquerable. But at one point in its history, in the year 1271, Crac des Chevaliers was attacked by a Muslim sultan named Baybars. And at first, Baybars attacked the castle and sought to overwhelm it by siege. He just surrounded the castle and waited. And then he began to hurl huge boulders against the walls of the castle with his state-of-the-art catapults called trebuchets. But the castle stood. then a tower in the first outer wall of the castle was approached with a special siege engine. It was like a roof on wheels so that the attackers could come and move right up to the castle wall and be safe from the arrows and whatever else could be thrown upon them. But they went right up to the wall, and then they began to undermine the castle wall. They began to dig under the castle wall until the tower of that outer wall collapsed and fell. But when they breached that outer wall, they found a huge moat against bigger walls of the Crack de Chevalier, and they were thwarted again. But finally, after many days, about a month of siege, a letter was sent to the leader of the castle's forces. A letter from an ally of the knights, the Crusader knights in Tripoli, saying that his request for reinforcements was unanswerable. Reinforcements would not be coming to help to deliver the people in the castle. So the knights in the castle all surrendered. Later learning that the letter that was sent was a forgery sent by Sultan Baybars himself. And accounts of the history differ. Some say that when the knights surrendered, they were given safe passage. Other accounts say that they were given safe passage only to be executed as they came out of the castle walls. Beloved Christian, your life is like that castle. And it is going to be assaulted and attacked in all sorts of ways. We will face all kinds of assaults as we are called to patiently endure. Sometimes the challenge will be just waiting. Long. That will challenge your endurance, like the siege, like the long days of siege. Sometimes you will face large, violent attacks and upheavals in your life, like those huge boulders being hurled against the castle walls. Sometimes it will be something in your life that comes with quiet, persistent, undermining effect, unseen, almost unnoticed, but one day the wall will fall. Or after all those kinds of attacks, it may be the subtle devices and schemes of our adversary, like that trick letter that he might use in our life, aimed to get us one way or another to give in and give up. Beloved, Crack de Chevalier eventually fell. But will we endure? Will you endure? If our hope for endurance is built solely upon our own love, love always endures, but if our hope to endure is solely built on our own love, my love for God or my love for the people around me, then we would despair. The assaults would be too great. But this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. It is the love of the triune God for his people that is our great hope and encouragement to endure. Love always endures. Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Our hope is the Father's electing love, the Son's redeeming and interceding love, and the Spirit's indwelling, sanctifying, and sealing love. And we know that God loves us. He did not spare his own Son. Will God's love for you endure? Will Christ's love for you ever be overthrown? This is our great encouragement. Love endures all things. God's love for his children will endure all of our sins, all of our weaknesses, all of our failures. His love for you will endure. We don't say it to be presumptuous or careless, but you cannot out-sin the love of God. You can't. And that shouldn't make you want to sin more. It should make you want to sin less. You can't out-sin the love and grace of God in Christ. The love of God for his people will endure all of Satan's schemes and efforts. It will endure the world and its desires which are passing away. His love always endures. Jonathan Edwards knew from his own experience and knew as a pastor of God's people how the struggles can seem overwhelming at times and how small our faith and our love can seem to us. He says, sometimes our faith and our love feels like a spark amid the waves of the ocean. It's just a little spark and it's surrounded by huge waves of the ocean. You think how easily that could just be gone and snuffed out. Or even more vividly, he said, sometimes our faith feels like a snowflake falling into a burning volcano. What a picture. But the faith of a child of God is like the boat battered by wind and waves, but which could not sink because Christ was in it. Listen to the word of God. The God who loves his people, whose love endures to his people, so that your love will endure. You who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Though he stumble, he will not fall, Psalm 37:24, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Jeremiah 32:40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. Matthew 18:14, in the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. John 6:39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up the last day. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Romans 8:30, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jude 24, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. You see what we hear over and over and over and over again. God's love for you will endure. Love always endures. But it's his love for you. It is your hope. Commenting on Jeremiah 31:3, which says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Gerhardus Voss said, the best proof that God will never cease to love us lies in that he never began. He loved you with an everlasting love. Too often and too much we seek our encouragement and our motivation and our hope to endure in our love to God or in our love to others, when our great need is to immerse ourselves in what the Bible proclaims to us of God's everlasting love for us in Jesus Christ. And the more we contemplate and meditate and embrace the reality of God's enduring love for us, we will be motivated and encouraged and enabled to love him and to love one another to the end.